All right, our scripture text this morning will be taken from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41. Matthew 5, 41. You can follow along in your bulletin or your Bible as you prefer. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Of course, the context here is serving others according to the will of God, which is the natural result of number one, loving God, and number two, loving neighbor, which Jesus affirmed to be the essence of the law in Christian teaching. Now, our specific reference is in the context of a soldier in the Roman army who would be able to draft a citizen, or not a citizen yet, I guess a subject of one of the Roman provinces into service for a particular purpose. And we saw this with Simon of Cyrene. Remember, the man was called out of the crowd to carry the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says that he was compelled to carry the cross of Jesus down that road. So there's an example of that. Of course, the Roman mile is very similar to our mile. The Roman mile is 4,833 feet, whereas the mile in our reckoning is 5,280. So we're talking about roughly the same distance. Now, there you have it by way of background. Let us move into the applications of our text. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. I've chosen 3 applications this morning that we can look at for our own spiritual benefit. First, that spiritual service requires much effort. Spiritual service requires much effort. Secondly, serving others comes at a cost. And third, I will seek to impress upon you the fact that Christ went the extra mile for you and I, and he still does so today. So let's look at these 3 things in turn. First off, spiritual service requires much effort. How much effort do you consciously put into serving your Creator each and every day? You don't have to answer me, but kind of ponder that question in your heart and mind before the Holy God who knows all things. You see, by serving others, you are serving Jesus. This is what Jesus gets at in Matthew chapter 25, right? If you've done a good deed or a good service to the least of these, to any of his children, you've done it unto Jesus himself. Serving others is akin to serving Christ. Now, there is much work to be done. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There are many jobs in God's kingdom, but yet the unemployment rate in the kingdom of God is 70, 80, 90%. But there's full employment for all who wish to be employed in the service of our Heavenly Master. Full employment for all who wish to work. And what's more, he's given you the ability, the talents, the gifts to work for him this day. Choose this day whom you will serve. Will it be God, or will it be mammon, something of the world? No one can serve 2 masters. He will love the one and detest the others. Spiritual service begins in your home, where you live, in your marriage, in your family. Begin there, going that extra mile. How many times do relationships fall apart? Because nobody's willing to go the extra mile. There are 3 miles. And one party has walked 1 mile, and the other party 3 miles off has walked 1 mile. And there's a 1 mile gap that needs to be bridged. And neither person will walk half the mile, let alone the full one, because of stubbornness, pride. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too, counsels the Lord. The Christian must be consistent, patient, persistent. Keep at it. Keep at the faith. Keep working on your relationships. You may not see results right away, but most likely you will in time. Serve God. Think of Him first, and everything else will fall into place. As you serve God, you'll learn what it means to serve others. As you serve Him and understand His truth, you'll learn what it means to serve others. And as you serve God and serve others, you're going to find that you're being blessed yourself. What is it that people read in your life? Many people are not going to pick up this great and glorious book, despite all of the truth that's contained in it. But they're going to read you and I. They're going to read that book. What are they going to read when they look at your life? What are they going to see when they meet you today after service this morning or at work later today or tomorrow? What are they going to read? When ministering to others, do 3 things. First, love them where they're at. Didn't Jesus do that to everybody he met? He met people right where they were, cut right to the heart. No, he didn't shrink from speaking the truth. Of course not, because love will always speak the truth. But he spoke that truth in perfect love. People knew that Jesus wasn't trying to just shoot him down and take him apart, those who had eyes to see and ears to hear. But they knew that that man, God incarnate, was speaking the truth out of the deep love that existed within his soul for that man and woman that he had created. Love them where they're at. Secondly, try to see them, see others, as Christ sees them. Look at their potential. We find written in the Holy Record the story of Noah. And we find it recorded, his sin of drunkenness. And it's true that people saw that. But what does the scripture say? That God saw Noah just and as somebody who walked with God. God saw him at the finish line. God saw him with all of his potential. And what about Moses? Moses, the murderer, the man who saw an Egyptian beating up a fellow Israelite, and he looked this way and he looked that way and he didn't see anybody, and he said, oh, nobody's looking. Isn't that when we sin? When we think nobody's looking? When we think nobody sees? So Moses looked this way and that, and he killed the man. But yet, It was Moses who would receive the amazing privilege, the amazing blessing of being able to see God face to face in a manner in which nobody in that day could. Loving people where they're at, seeing them as Christ sees them. And the third point, following through. Following through. Didn't Jesus do that time and time again? Remember the man sitting by the pool at Bethesda, waiting for somebody to put him in the water? Because when the angel would stir up the water, healing would take place. Now, we don't know whether this was something that was actually happening on a consistent basis. Tradition tells us that it did, and surely miracles were prevalent, particularly in the time of Christ. It's very possible. But Jesus didn't pick him up and put him in the pool. He simply healed him then and there. And he went his way, and he followed through. He came back to the man and said, "See that you sin no more. You see, you've received a blessing from God. Now don't take it for granted. Don't take for granted your blessings. Don't go back to where you were. You see, God has a plan for you, a plan for your good and not for evil. Sometimes walking in that plan, living in that plan, is hard. It's very hard. Sometimes we suffer. We can't explain why we have to go through this, why we have to go through that. I know somebody who gets that. Jesus Christ. His plan was for our good, and his plan was hard. His plan was, you know what? In the heavenly council, picture God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three and yet one, in the council of the divine mind, and God the Father saying, "Son, I have a perfect plan." And of course, we've all agreed to it. You're going to go down, and you're going to understand what it means to be tested. You're going to go down, and the first thing you're going to feel when you come out of the womb is cold. You're going to be hungry. You're going to be tired. People aren't going to like you because you speak the truth. People are going to persecute you for no good reason at all. They're going to be nasty. They're going to be mean. They're going to be unkind. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to suffer. You have to suffer. Because it's through that suffering that the greatest good will be accomplished. The salvation of millions. Our salvation, the salvation of you and I. Jesus certainly followed through in a big way. How do you follow through in small ways? With people that maybe you've ministered to along the way or that you've helped? Do you answer your phone calls? Do you send thank you cards when your mother or your uncle or your brother or sister sends you a gift? Or has many kind words for you and helps you out along the way? When ministering to others, love people where they're at, see them as Christ sees them, and follow through. Why? For the love of Christ compels us. in the words of the Apostle Paul. It compels us to seek the salvation of souls, preaching the gospel in season and out of season, whether people want to hear it or whether people don't want to hear it, whether there are 1,000 people in this room or 2, but nevertheless being faithful to the Lord who bought us, because He was faithful to us. And because He loves us, the least we can do is give Him everything. Someday we're going to be standing in His presence. There'll be no more tears. And that voluntary love that He has for us, we'll be able to reciprocate in a perfect way without that sinful filter. But even today, yeah, we sin. But let's strive to do our best to thank Him with our lives. Second point, serving others comes at a cost. See, doing it Christ's way comes at the cost of self-denial. Right? The world teaches you to get what you can get, right? Do what you can now. It's all about today. This is the teaching of the world. But Christ says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He says, put yourself aside for a minute. Get out of your own little world. And consider the will of God and the needs of others. And then you'll have a meaningful life. Your life will mean something. It won't just be all about you and you'll have nothing to show for it at the end. But it's all about Christ. And in the end, analysis, you will have everything to show for it. Notice also in our text it says, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. It says whoever. Whoever compels you. That means that you're going to be dealing in your life with people and situations that are unfamiliar to you and very difficult for you. It's not going to be easy. People are not going to be easy to deal with, and He's going to put these things in your path to teach you, to kind of get you out of your own proverbial little box, as it were. This is one of the things that the church teaches us. It's not about comfort, our own comfort, but it's about Jesus and other people. We have the greatest bond, one with another. The unity of faith in Christ Jesus. See, comfortable Christianity is lukewarm. When you can go to a place or study under a teaching that makes you very comfortable, where everybody is the same, where it's love, 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 like the Beatles, right? And it's not love, holiness, mercy, grace, justice, righteousness, all of these things. Christianity takes us out of our comfort zone because it forces us to grasp, to grapple with life's greatest questions and find meaning in it. What is the origin of life? Why am I here? What am I doing? If God created me, what does He require of me? And where am I going? Out of our comfort zone, things that aren't easy, but things that nevertheless we must come to terms with, or to our eternal detriment, completely ignore. Serving others costs time and energy. Now, to help somebody else, or to go out and take a stand for God, a public stand, like we're doing this morning, that means one less hour in front of the tube. That means maybe the grass gets cut once this week instead of twice. 2 less hours on the internet, surfing or chatting or playing games. So count the cost and take the challenge. I could guarantee you, and so could untold Christians throughout the ages, that you will be more fulfilled in this life as you embrace the will of God. Many of you have already done this. You've already taken that step. You've taken the first step, or the second, or the third. To you I say, do not grow weary in so doing. The Lord will bless you sevenfold. Invest in heavenly things. I have a friend who listens to these messages online, and he works with stocks. And the market sometimes goes up and sometimes it goes down. But in heavenly things, the market is always up. And the market is always going up. Our investment into the kingdom of God will pay off 100% of the time when done out of love and the motive of a pure heart. Third and final point this morning. Jesus Christ went the extra mile for you. These aren't just words. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with them too. These aren't just words that Jesus is throwing out there. This is something that he himself did. See, there was a problem. God had what you might call a quandary. Not that God's ever, you know, confused or discombobulated, but just to kind of put this in human terms, right? God, it was God's earnest desire that all men and women come to salvation, right? He wants everybody to come back to him and be reconciled to him. But there was a problem. You see, Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. God would give us an object lesson on how to do that. When we were yet his enemies, he died for us. This is Romans 5, by the way. You know, Paul makes the point that a good man might even die for a friend, right? For a noble cause, for somebody that we love, right? We'd die for our spouse or our children, for instance. But would we die for an ex-murderer? Would we die for a Roman soldier who picked up the hammer and the nail and put that nail through a Savior's hands? I know somebody who would. Jesus Christ. Talk about going the extra mile. Now, do you understand these things? Do you understand that to be a truth? When God the Son allowed those nails to pierce his skin and allowed that sinless blood to flow out, he did that for you. Do you believe this? It's true he did it for other people. But what do you believe? Do you believe that that was done for you? And if you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the God-man, who suffered, died, and was buried, and rose again. And it is through his resurrection that the future glory of all believers in Christ, yours and mine, could be guaranteed once and for all eternity. Now, Jesus will not stop at that extra mile. He would not stop there. But he would go 3 and 4 and 5 up to infinity and beyond, right? many, many more miles with you. How many miles has Jesus gone with you in your life? He's gone a lot of miles already with me, and I'm sure you could concur in your own life. Far more than I could ever think to count. Now, just for the sake of argument, let's put a number to it. If he's gone 776 miles with you in your life, and you're sitting there today, and there's a struggle that's burdening your heart, will he go that 777th mile with you as you go through that struggle? Will he do it? Well, as a Christian, rationally speaking, if you really think this through, you'd have to be crazy not to think that having gone through 776 miles, that he wouldn't go through the 777th. Remember that, wherever you're at this morning. And if you're rejoicing this morning, I rejoice along with you. But you might need to remember that sometime this week. I know I will. So maybe you've gone many miles in life, and Jesus is there to walk the next one with you. He assures you in his word, for he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for going the extra mile for us. We pray, Lord, that you help us, that you guide us, that you show us ways, give us opportunities to go the extra mile and bless other people the way that you've blessed us. We'd like to be good servants of you, of the one who bought us. It's the least we can do. Lord, be glorified as we go forth in our service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.